It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, ever wonder about some of the lesser-known characters who helped make history here in Wisconsin? Our guest shares some of the most interesting stories.
First, the Supreme Court ruled today that a religious school can use taxpayer funds for a playground. The ruling came in the case of a Columbia, Missouri church, which operates a daycare and a preschool as part of its church ministry. The church had been seeking funding for rubberizing its playground surface and applied for a state grant that excludes funding for religious institutions.
The case has implications beyond the playground. Dissenters say that giving a taxpayer-funded grant to a religious group is a slippery slope for the separation of church and state. Supporters say the church shouldn't be excluded from a grant it is otherwise qualified for.
The Supreme Court also made another major announcement that it will be reinstating parts of President Trump's travel ban. We'll have more coverage on that tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Right now, John McGinnis joins us to tell us more about the religious school case. He's a professor of law at Northwestern University. John, welcome to Central Time.
Delighted to be here.
Well, how did this church, Trinity Lutheran, make the case that the grant denial violated its rights?
By appealing to a very general principle under the Bill of Rights. There's a long time the court has held in many areas that the government can't condition giving you money on your giving up your constitutional rights. And so since you have a constitutional right to practice your religion, they can't condition funds that are generally available to anyone on your giving up those rights. In some ways, just as they couldn't do that by saying only Democrats could or Republicans could apply for some generally available program. So I think that's the central holding to treat the Free Exercise Clause like most other rights, at least for most purposes.
And this went against the rulings a couple in the lower courts. What were the arguments there when this case went the other direction?
Well, the arguments there were that there's some permission for instance, the government to prevent to not give out money to churches to avoid the appearance that it's helping religion. That was one of the arguments. In other words, not everyone might understand that this was a general program and the Lutheran Church just had a better proposal, and they might think the government was helping religion. I think that argument, the court doesn't really deal so much with that argument, but I think the problem with that argument is that appearance arguments are essentially illimitable intrusions on the liberty. People can always say that there's some appearance that's a problem, particularly people who aren't really following public policy. And that's, I think, a problem if you actually want to protect people's rights rather than have them at the sufferance of other people's ignorance.
And you've said that you agree with the majority opinion in the Supreme Court. Why is that?
Yes, well, I think the Free Exercise Clause should be treated like other clauses. You should get the same kind of rights. Moreover, of course, in the modern world, the state is quite powerful in giving out money. And if it gives out only money to secular institutions, you're actually disabling and actually putting the thumb of the state you're not being neutral. You're actually making the state help secular institutions at the expense of religious ones, even when the religious ones are doing what civic associations often do, provide public benefits. So that I see would be a big cost of if the court had gone the other way.
Now, some have argued that it is in the public interest to fund religious institutions because, for instance, vulnerable populations may depend on them, thinking about instances like hospitals. Can you draw out the arguments there involved in a state funding to help a religious group for the common good and putting taxpayer money toward a religious institution?
Well, so long as they're doing it, I think it's very problematic if the state actually chooses to help particular religious institutions, just funds religious institutions. That's not what's going on here. But I think you're absolutely right. So long as the program is neutral, it can help poor individuals. I think the biggest effect of this decision is likely to be in the school voucher area. There are 39 states, I think 37 to 39, that have provisions that look something like Missouri's. And many state courts have interpreted these to prevent religious schools from receiving money or vouchers, even under neutral principles that would give them also to non-religious schools. So that's going to be the greatest change, and I think it will help poor individuals, because often having a greater supply of institutions that are willing to educate people, I think it is good, particularly for those who can't afford an education, because often religious institutions use some of their own funds to give a better education than the poor students could otherwise obtain.
Talking to John McGinnis right now, professor of law at Northwestern University, and we're talking about a Supreme Court ruling that would allow religious schools to use public funds in some cases. And looking at the dissent now, Judge Sonia Sotomayor wrote in her dissent that the ruling, she says, allows the government to tax its citizens and then turn that money over to a religious institution, thereby kind of chipping away at this wall between church and state. So do you see it that way?
Well, I guess I have several difficulties. First of all, there is no constitutional provision that says there is a wall between church and state. There is a constitutional provision that says there can't be a law respecting an establishment of religion. I think it's quite a stretch to understand this law as respecting an establishment of religion. It isn't focused on any particular religion or religions in general. It's a neutral law. So I don't think it does, quote, respect an establishment of religion. So just textually about the Constitution, she's wrong from the first point. But also I think the difficulty with her argument is that why, under that principle, can the state fund fire departments and police departments that actually protect religious institutions? That's going to be a benefit to those religious institutions as well. Of course, we don't object to it because, like the law at issue in this case, those laws are neutral. They don't actually single out religion for protection. That's why we don't think of them as an establishing of religion, and therefore I don't think they violate the Constitution. I think it's also just very sloppy language about separation of church and state. In some sense, church and state cannot be entirely separate, as the hypothetical about police protection and fire protection shows. It's really, I think, a metaphor that's a misleading and that can make people confused.
And other critics have worried that the ruling could legitimize discrimination. For instance, maybe restrictions on LGBT people who might not be welcome on a playground hosted by a religious group.
The question I think there is the state, I think, would be entirely open to the state to say that all of the playgrounds have to be open to people of all sexual preferences, because that law, the court has previously held that those laws don't discriminate against religion, again, because they're neutral laws. They're not actually focused on any particular religious belief. You could have a non-religious belief about not letting people of certain sexual preferences into your playground. So I don't think there's any danger of that the states continue to have the ability to condition their funds on neutral laws that may actually affect some people's beliefs, so long as they aren't targeted at those beliefs.
Now, you mentioned you thought the biggest changes would come in education. Do you see this as being maybe a bigger linchpin case than it might seem, and that it does pave the way for the use maybe of state vouchers for religious schools?
I do, and I think it's in two ways. One, for existing programs, I think it may do that. Many state Supreme Courts have interpreted their constitutional amendments to prevent that. Moreover, I think if you think about this in the political movement, I think there's going to be a much greater push for vouchers if some of the funds can be given to religious schools, because that will make those schools interested in lobbying their legislatures along with other private schools in doing that. So I think it's going to have a dynamic effect as well in pushing the, for want of a better word, the school choice program forward.
John, thank you for joining us.
Very, very welcome. Delighted to be here.
That was John McGinnis, a professor of law at Northwestern University, joining us today to talk about a Supreme Court ruling that would allow religious schools to use public funds in some cases.
We'll continue our coverage of the Supreme Court tomorrow at 4 when we look at the court's decision to reinstate parts of President Trump's travel ban.